I am Planta on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. Roy Henry Vickers joins me again. The distinguished artist has recently published Voices from the Skeena, an illustrated oral history, a book he's written with his frequent collaborator, Lucky Budd, who was on the show recently to talk about the book and his work with Roy. I'll ask Mr. Vickers about working with Lucky, forthcoming projects, as well as the Imbert Orchard oral histories that are in the book that Mr. Vickers illustrated. I'll also ask Roy about what it was like growing up and around the Skeena River. Roy Henry Vickers is a renowned Grammy-nominated carver, painter, and printmaker. He is the co-author of Harbor Publishing's popular children's Northwest Coast Legends series, all of which were shortlisted for the Bill Duthie Booksellers Choice Award. He is a member of the Order of Canada and the Order of British Columbia. He lives in Hazelton, British Columbia, where he joined me from a couple of weeks ago. Visit royhenryvickers.com. This new book is from Harbor Publishing. Please welcome back to the Plant Online program, Roy Henry Vickers. Mr. Vickers, good morning.
Good morning. It's wonderful to be talking to you from the Skeena River, where voices from the Skeena can still be heard.
And that's the thing that as I was reading the book, was because I hadn't heard I've heard some of the Orchard tapes before, but I hadn't heard the ones that are in the book in a long time, say. And for people listening to us, they can go to Lucky's site, memories2memoirs.ca, and there's some clips there. I was looking at your illustrations, because it's one thing to read the transcript, it's another thing to see your art. And I don't know how to explain this. Their words come to life again in your artwork. And I guess you can't help as an artist hear them as you're doing this, right?
Oh, that's for sure, yeah. Yeah, I grew up on the Skeena. I grew up at the mouth of the Skeena in my home village of Kitkatla. And every time I came to the Skeena River, it always had this power, just the flow of the river coming out into the ocean. And so it's been part of my awareness since I was a little child. And so I've always heard the stories of the Skeena. And so when I got to Victoria many years ago as a teenager in my late teens, I was so homesick for the North Country. And I, on one of my visits to the museum, I came across the recordings of Imbert Orchard in a series of magazines that came out quarterly, and one of them was called Paddle Wheels on the Frontier. And when I took the little cassette tape and listened to it, it took me all the way back home to the Skeena. And so those recordings have been part of my life for 50 years.
You know, when I read that in the book, I sort of got chills, because here you were, you're far away, you're a kid, you're homesick, and you hadn't heard these recordings before, but then to hear them in your ears, and I mean, it just takes you back, doesn't it?
Oh my goodness, I could hear old people that were long gone speaking to me. I could hear their voices, and so when I heard old Chief Johnson talking about the Skeena and what the real name was for the Skeena, his voice sounded kind of like this. Oh yeah, Skeena, been looking long time for the real name of that river, and finally this old Kitkatla woman, she says Kien. And when I heard that, two things hit me. First of all, the old man's voice, and secondly, that the lady who gave him the ancient word for the river was from my home village.
Wow.
So it was like, I have goosebumps right now on my arms just telling the story.
And so these voices, I mean, 50 years later, they still ring in your ear, don't they, as you're working?
Oh, my goodness. All of the time. And I... On my Facebook page, I post a coffee shot quite often in the morning, and it's out on the deck, and there's the Skeena River. So often I'll just record the sound of the river.
Wow.
And I'll tell you, Joe, there have been times when Andrea and I have been lying in our bed with the window open and just about falling asleep, and she'll hear voices outside. And she'll say, Roy, you better go and check. There's someone out there. And I listen, and you can't hear it. It's like voices murmuring, and you can't make out the words, but they are definitely voices. And so I said to her, well, yes, there are voices out there, but there's nobody, no living person out there. Those voices are coming from the river, yeah. And I'm sure they're part of our ancestors whose highway was that river.
And what do you think they're telling you today? And what's, the warning that they're giving us about what needs to happen in the future?
Oh, my goodness. That's actually one of the articles in the book in the beginning, and that is that you think that I am a strong river, and I have this power that's been here since the earth was made, but I am delicate. And there are times of the year when you see the river flowing slowly. And there are times of the year when it's this massive force that nothing can stop, that's carved its way through the mountains and through bedrock. And so today, with all of our technology, we have the ability to completely destroy this river. Mm-hmm. And for me, those voices are saying, you know this, Roy. So you are responsible to the knowledge you carry, and the responsibility is for you to continue to tell people over and over and over, please protect the pristine rivers that we have left in British Columbia.
Now, do you think people around you today, do you think future generations, do you think that they'll heed those warnings like you do?
Well, I sure hope so. If I can heed them, I'm positive other people will.
Yeah.
And I've seen people and heard people who live here whose awareness has become more acute to the river and how it flows. And you hear reports, and so I'll post in my social media reports of rivers and creeks that have been damaged by fracking, uh-huh. That can no longer, the water is not drinkable. And people will try to make out that this isn't true, but I know it's true.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's an awareness that I'm positive will become part of other British Columbians and Canadians' minds. And hopefully with this knowledge, we will protect one of the most beautiful rivers that BC has.
When I had Lucky on the show a couple weeks ago, he described it, because I've never been up there. He described it as heaven on earth. I mean, I'm sure it was like that for you growing up. Is it still like that for you?
It absolutely is. I get up in the morning and I have my coffee and I don't turn the TV on and watch the news. I sit there and watch the river. And, you know, as a child growing up, I grew up in a church where I was taught that one day we will go to heaven, and in heaven time will be no more. There will be no such thing as time.
Uh-huh.
And what I realize today, well, if that's the truth, then I experience heaven on earth, being out in nature, and time goes by, and before you know it, you can feel some rumblings in your stomach, and you're hungry. And that's because hours and hours and hours and hours have gone by, and you're so engrossed in the beauty of nature that time stood still. Or you're like this. You're sitting with someone and talking to someone on an airplane, maybe, uh-huh. Or driving down the Skeena River to the ocean, and before you know it, the three-hour trip is over, and it seemed like you started 20 minutes ago. And so time ceases to exist, and for me, that's heaven on earth.
Yeah, yeah. I asked Lucky how you guys work, especially with this book, Voices from the Skeena, in terms of what, I guess, you chose to illustrate from the transcripts. And he said that there were a lot of, I guess, trips together in cars listening to these tapes again.
Yeah, I listened to them. Well, that's how Lucky and I met, actually. Years ago, I called the museum many, many times trying to find these beautiful voices caught on tape from years and years ago. And finally, someone at the museum said, well, there's this guy, Robert Budd. He has a company called Memories to Memoirs, and he was the archivist who listened to all of those tapes that Imbert Orchard recorded and categorized them all. So if you can find him, you will find the tapes. And so I found Lucky, and I found the tapes.
Yeah,
look at what's happened since then.
It's been 10 books. Right, and it's been about 10 years now, hasn't it? Or less than 10 years, right?
Oh yeah, less than 10 years, yeah. but 10 books.
Right.
Definitely.
And so there's some images in the book that I guess were inevitable to do. Were there things that you wanted to do, what you wanted to illustrate, say?
No. No, I shouldn't say that. I wanted to somehow illustrate Hazelton and the great mountain we call Stigjorden that's called Rocher de Beau on the maps. I wanted to illustrate Port Essington at the mouth of the river because I've been there many times, and all that's left of that big city that was there are pilings. So I didn't know how I was going to illustrate them, but in working with Lucky, we also went through all of the archived photographs of the steamboats on the river, and we found those, and we found archived photographs of Catiline, who is part of the story. So it all came together, and as I looked at those old photographs, my memory, because I think in pictures, when I'm speaking to you, I can see all these images. And so in speaking with Lucky, I would see these images, and I'd say, okay, I got to go. I have this vision of this image, and so I just stopped talking to him and started drawing.
Yeah.
And so all of the images that came together for the book came from inspiration from the river and the people whose lives were the river.
For a lot of people, this will be their first experience with these orchard tapes, and years from now, I'm sure, young people will pick up this book and you know, have an idea of the history of that place, this river. When you're working, does that convey a some sort of responsibility on you that you and Lucky are sort of passing this on to not only this current generation, but obviously future generations that'll pick up this book?
No, that never weighs on me at all. What I go through is the desire to create an image that has been inspired. Mm-hmm. And so I'll sit down and work, and however many days go by for one image, all of a sudden I'll look at it and realize, there it is. Okay. And so these images come out of stories from a time past. They come out of voices that I've heard of stories told to me. And they also come from my experiences on the river. And I've been on the river many times, from Kispiox to the ocean in a canoe, and driven up and down the river literally hundreds of times. And every time I do, I think of those stories and those people and the times gone by when the river was the highway. There was no cars. There was no railroad. And so there's something, I think it's ancestors, because half of my ancestors came from this area.
Uh-huh.
And so our ancestors are part of us. They're in our very DNA. So I think there's an intrinsic connection that I don't understand, and that doesn't matter because I feel it every day on the river.
And that's something that we can't lose sight of. I mean, you know, when we think of the major crises of our time, that's something that you see. You can see that, can't you, in looking at the river?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I love the river.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I love it in all its different voices and all of its different moods through the 12 months of the year.
Right.
So I've been here coming on to 16 years now.
Yeah.
And my love of the river has just gotten stronger and stronger and stronger as the years go by.
You mentioned 16 years. I was going to ask, because you've lived in other parts of the provinces, the province, British Columbia. You've lived here in Vancouver, in Tofino, down in Victoria, as you mentioned earlier. What was it that brought you back to the Skeena 16 years ago?
The voices.
Really?
The voices speaking in my heart. And when we finally moved up here, my wife said, Roy, if I had known how you would be living here compared to living in Victoria,
uh-huh,
I would have moved with you a long time ago.
Really?
I love Victoria. I love Vancouver Island and
Vancouver.
I love the province of British Columbia. But my heart somehow is connected to this area from Kispehawk to Kitkala, the Skeena River, the valley.
Well, I mentioned Lucky a couple times already, and one of the things that I've admired about the two of you and getting to know the two of you in the last few years is this sense of mentorship and friendship. And it goes both ways, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, Lucky's energy as a young man, he's kind of like my son. He's the age of one of my boys.
Uh-huh.
And his boundless energy and just go, 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 go is good for an old man like me, 74 this year.
Uh-huh.
And my experience and my connection to the land is shared with Lucky in that we both love people and we both love the land. And we have this connection that is very, very strong. And so we inspire each other.
Yeah. It's a very productive relationship. I mean, you mentioned already 10 books. I mean, there are more to come, aren't there?
I would think so, yes. Yeah. And now I'm into other books, but that's another story for another time.
Yeah, well, we'll talk again, I'm sure. You've been busy since we last talked. I mean, you went to the Grammys last year. What was that like for you?
The Grammys was a crazy zoo, a once-in-a-lifetime experience that I would never really want to duplicate.
Uh-huh.
If I ever did something, and I doubt that I would, that would be nominated for a Grammy, I would stay home and watch it on TV and be one of the people who doesn't show. So for me, it was like crazy, crazy, like thousands of people moving en masse. The red carpet walk with all my regalia on was hot. I was sweating.
Yeah.
It was just a wonderful circus. And to meet Al Yankovic and watch him receive the Grammy Award, there was no envy on my part whatsoever. I was glad that he won. And for me, winning was just being nominated.
Yeah. By the way, Roy, I've always wondered, when you're working, whether you're drawing or painting or carving, do you listen to music?
I do. Music is a huge part of my life. Has been since I was a little boy.
Uh-huh.
We lived in a village where there was no electricity. And yet there were musicians everywhere. So on a weekend, people would come over to our house and they'd all sit around the stove in the kitchen singing songs. And us kids would be peeking through the door when we're supposed to be asleep just to watch and listen to everyone. So music from the time I was a child has been part of my life. And as I grew up and moved to Victoria, I was introduced to more and more and more music. So I have this massive collection of over 50,000 songs and a vinyl collection. So the vinyl collection helps me when I put an album on, it'll go 15 minutes, and then I've got to get up and move to change the vinyl record.
Yeah.
And so it's good for me because in my throes of inspiration, it's heaven on earth again. Time does not exist, and before I know it, my body's saying, you better get up and move around here, Roy. So music helps me to keep everything in balance.
And are there things that, I mean, I'm wondering what kind of music you like listening to. Are there things that you don't like, say?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm not crazy about rap.
Uh-huh.
I love mostly old-time music, country and folk, and
yeah.
The Beatles, Bob Dylan, Bob Marley, and then a whole pile of musicians that no one knows, and they're all indigenous musicians. So I have this whole collection of works of songs that come from my home that are part of my listening experience every day.
I've been doing this a long time, Roy, as you know, talking to authors, talking to artists, and the conversations that we've had over the years are some of the most special. I remember the time that you and Lucky came down here and you know, sat in front of me at my desk. I mean, one of the more, as I said, one of the more special moments. And this is one. This chat that we've just had is one of them. I so appreciate your time. It's so nice to talk again. I hope to see you soon.
Well, thank you very much, Joe. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you. You know, when two people come together, their spirits come together and they communicate, a magic happens that cannot happen with anyone else because we're all so unique. So it's always a pleasure to tell stories and to have you inspire me to reach into my memory and answer questions.
The book is called Voices from the Skeena, an Illustrated Oral History by Roy Henry Vickers and Lucky Budd. It's from Harbor Publishing. Roy Henry Vickers joined me on the line from Hazelton in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunta.